You're listening to The Philosopher's Note on Atomic Habits. More wisdom in less time.
Hi, this is Brian. Welcome to The Philosopher's Note on Atomic Habits, an easy and proven way to build good habits and break bad ones, by James Clear. As always, let's kick it off with a quote. If you're having trouble changing your habits, the problem isn't you. The problem is your system. Bad habits repeat themselves again and again, not because you don't want to change, but because you have the wrong system for change. You do not rise to the level of your goals, you fall to the level of your systems. Focusing on the overall system rather than a single goal is one of the core themes of this book. It is also one of the deeper meanings behind the word atomic. By now, you've probably realized that an atomic habit refers to a tiny change, a marginal gain, a 1% improvement. But atomic habits are not just any old habits, however small. They are little habits that are part of a larger system. Just as atoms are the building blocks of molecules, atomic habits are the building blocks of remarkable results. Habits are like the atoms of our lives. Each one is a fundamental unit that contributes to your overall improvement. At first, these tiny routines seem insignificant, but soon they build on each other and fuel bigger wins that multiply to a degree that far outweighs the cost of their initial investment. They are both small and mighty. This is the meaning of the phrase atomic habits, a regular practice or routine that is not only small and easy to do, but also the source of incredible power, a component of the system of compound growth, end quote. That is James Clear from Atomic Habits. James Clear has a super popular website. Visit him at jamesclear.com. Millions of people visit it every month and hundreds of thousands subscribe to his email newsletter. After reading this book, I can see why. He's a great writer and distills the essence of habit formation into, well, its fundamental components, the atomic structure, if you will, while showing us how those tiny little incremental improvements add up to mighty results. We'll talk about the math behind plus 1% daily gains in our first big idea. Now, I rarely say a book is a must read, but this one's as close as it gets. We've covered a lot of books on habits, from The Power of Habit and The Creative Habit to Superhuman by Habit and Mini Habits. I enjoyed all of those, and we had fun chatting about some of the best ideas in Habits 101 and Willpower 101 and Optimizing Algorithms 101, but I'd say this book is the one to read for the best scientific overview of how habits work and the best practical model to make that science work for you. I think you'll love it. The book is packed with big ideas. It's one of those books that is so good, it's really hard to distill into a six-page note. We'll barely scratch the surface of all the goodness, but I'm excited to share some of my favorites, so let's jump straight in. First big idea, why tiny changes lead to remarkable results. Quote, it is so easy to overestimate the importance of one defining moment and underestimate the value of making small improvements on a daily basis. Too often, we convince ourselves that massive success requires massive action. Whether it is losing weight, building a business, writing a book, winning a championship, or achieving any other goal, we put pressure on ourselves to make some earth-shattering improvement that everyone will talk about. Meanwhile, improving 1% isn't particularly notable. Sometimes it isn't even noticeable, but it can be far more meaningful, especially in the long run. The difference a tiny improvement can make over time is astounding. Here's how the math works out. If you can get 1% better each day for 1 year, you'll end up 37 times better by the time you're done. Conversely, if you get 1% worse each day for 1 year, you'll decline nearly down to zero. What starts as a small win or a minor setback accumulates into something much more. Habits are the compound interest of self-improvement. The same way that money multiplies through compound interest, the effects of your habits multiply as you repeat them. They seem to make little difference on any given day, and yet the impact they deliver over the months and years can be enormous. It is only when looking back 2, 5, or perhaps 10 years later that the value of good habits and the cost of bad ones becomes strikingly apparent, end quote. That's from part one, The Fundamentals, chapter one, The Surprising Power of Atomic Habits. James kicks the book off with the story about Brailsford and his astonishing turnaround of the British cycling team via marginal gains. Moral of that story, as we now know, little things matter a lot. Now, we talk a lot about optimizing just a little more every day, aggregating and compounding those tiny little gains over an extended period of time. Now, we have the math for what happens when we get just 1% better every day for a year. We're 37 times better. But get this, create a spreadsheet, I've got one linked in the note, and run that 1% daily improvement out for another year, and guess what? After 2 years, you're not 74 times better, you're now 1,400 times better. And why stop there? Run it out another year. After the third year of aggregating and compounding those 1% gains, you're now 53,405 times better. 4 years, you're 2,017,828 times better. How about 5 years? You're 76,240,507 times better. Shall we run it to 10 years out? Okay, let's. Result? Well, on day 3,472, we hit our last normal number on our Google spreadsheet. We're 998,822,690,9,590 times better. That's nearly a quadrillion times better. Then we break our Google spreadsheet by day 3,650 when we're at 5.87074E plus 15. I don't even know what that means, but I assume it's even more zeros. All that to say, little things matter a lot. Now, of course, those numbers get absurd quickly, but that's the whole point. Harvard professor of the psychology of possibility, Ellen Langer, comes to mind. She tells us that our potential is unknowable. Literally, it's impossible to know what we're capable of until we actually let go of the limits and start doing the little things consistently. Ralph Waldo Emerson comes to mind as well. In Self-Reliance, he has a great line about the fact that great human beings have an aura about them. He says that it's almost as if they have a train of angels escorting them. Perhaps that's what the E plus 15 means in our math above. As Emerson puts it, quote, "The force of character is cumulative. All the foregone days of virtue work their health into this. What makes the majesty of the heroes of the Senate in the field, which so fills the imagination? The consciousness of a train of great days and victories behind. They shed an united light on the advancing actor. He is attended, as by a visible escort of angels." Little PS here. Here's another way James puts it. Imagine a plane taking off from LAX. Now, the desired destination is New York City. But if the nose of the plane is pointed just 3.5 degrees south and the pilots don't correct for it, they'll land in Washington, D.C. rather than New York City. 90 inches off at the start equals hundreds of miles off at the end. Again, little things matter a lot. PPS, one very important thing to remember, compounding is magic. And, although we'll never be perfect, to see the benefits, we need to make sure we don't give back our gains. Next big idea, the plateau of latent potential. Quote, "If you find yourself struggling to build a good habit or break a bad one, it is not because you have lost your ability to improve. It is often because you have not yet crossed the plateau of latent potential. Complaining about not achieving success despite working hard is like complaining about an ice cube not melting when you heated it from 25 to 31 degrees. Your work was not wasted, it is just being stored. All the action happens at 32 degrees. When you finally break through the plateau of latent potential, people will call it an overnight success. Mastery requires patience. The San Antonio Spurs, one of the most successful teams in NBA history, have a quote from social reformer Jacob Riis hanging in their locker room. "When nothing seems to help, I go and look at a stone cutter hammering away at his rock, perhaps 100 times without as much as a crack showing in it, Yet, at the 101st blow, it will split in two. And I know it was not that last blow that did it, but all that had gone before. End quote. Now, we're still in chapter one on the surprising power of atomic habits. Little things add up to big things. Got it. The problem is that it takes time for those little things to add up to those big things. Unfortunately, too often we want our lives to change X days after starting the new diet or fitness program or whatever. And when the results don't immediately show up, we stop doing the little things that would have led to the success we're after. That gap between our effort and results, James calls it the plateau of latent potential and tells us, quote, "It's a hallmark of any compounding process. The most powerful outcomes are delayed." Darren Hardy wrote a whole book on a similar theme called The Compound Effect. Check out those notes and remember our doubling penny? The magic doesn't really start until we're pretty far into the process. Check out that plus one as well. Jeff Olson wrote a book called The Slight Edge, which is all about doing the little things consistently as well. He tells us that people want to go from plant to harvest without cultivating. He says, quote, "Plant, comma, cultivate, comma, harvest." And that second comma, the one between cultivate and harvest, often represents a long period of time. End quote. So how about you? Have you, like every other human on the planet, ever bailed out during the plateau of latent potential phase before we got to see the true value you were building? Remember the stone cutter and the melting ice cube and that energy put in before we get the big results. Know that delay is an essential part of the process. Next big idea, identity. Quote, "Identity change is the North Star of habit change." The remainder of this book will provide you with step-by-step instructions on how to build better habits for yourself, your family, your team, your company, and anywhere else you wish. But the true question is, are you becoming the type of person you want to become? The first step is not what or how, but who. You need to know who you want to be. Otherwise, your quest for change is like a boat without a rudder. And that's why we're starting here. You have the power to change your beliefs about yourself. Your identity is not set in stone. You have a choice in every moment. You can choose the identity you want to reinforce today with habits you choose today. And this brings us to the deeper purpose of this book and the real reason habits matter. Building better habits isn't about littering your day with life hacks. It's not about flossing one tooth each night or taking a cold shower each morning or wearing the same outfit each day. It's not about achieving external measures of success like earning more money, losing weight, or reducing stress. Habits can help you achieve all these things, but fundamentally, they are not about having something. They are about becoming someone. Ultimately, your habits matter because they help you become the type of person you wish to be. They are the channel through which you develop your deepest beliefs about yourself. Quite literally, you become your habits. End quote. Welcome to chapter number two, how your habits shape your identity and vice versa. That chapter comes right before we are introduced to the four laws of habits. But before we learn the what and the how, we need to start with the who. Specifically, who do you want to become? That is the ultimate driver for our habits. So, before we go any further, who do you want to become? A healthy, fit person, maybe even an athlete? A super productive person? A great husband, wife, mother, father? As you contemplate that, contemplate this. Quote, "The more you repeat a behavior, the more you reinforce the identity associated with that behavior." In fact, the word identity was originally derived from the Latin word essentitas, which means being, and identitum, which means repeatedly. Your identity is literally your repeated beingness, end quote. Okay, that's pretty amazing. Your identity is literally your repeated beingness. That's beautiful. And your identity, as James tells us, emerges from your habits. He says, quote, "Whatever your identity is right now, you only believe it because you have proof of it. Therefore, want a new identity? Repeat the desired behavior as frequently as possible. And want to repeat the desired behavior as frequently as possible? Live from your new identity." Now, there's so much in this chapter that's worth highlighting. It's almost absurd. Although the rest of the book is equally good, the book is worth it for this section alone. Get the book for more, of course. For now, imagine the optimist you and go be that. And P.S., remember, that's like me and the as-if principle. And remember, self-image 101. All of those are linked in the note for a little more. That's like me is self-image cultivation from With Winning in Mind. The as-if principle, of course, is the science of acting as if you are the person you want to be. And then we talk about a lot of those ideas in self-image 101. Moving on. Next big idea, the four laws of behavior change. Quote, if a behavior is insufficient in any of the four stages, it will not become a habit. Eliminate the cue and your habit will never start. Reduce the craving and you won't experience enough motivation to act. Make the behavior difficult and you won't be able to do it. And if the reward fails to satisfy your desire, then you'll have no reason to do it again in the future. Without the first three steps, a behavior will not occur. Without all four, a behavior will not be repeated. In summary, the cue triggers a craving, which motivates a response, which provides a reward, which satisfies the craving, and ultimately becomes associated with the cue. Together, these four steps form a neurological feedback loop. Cue, craving, response, reward. Cue, craving, response, reward. That ultimately allows you to create automatic habits. This cycle is known as the habit loop, end quote. Welcome to chapter number 3, How to Build Better Habits in 4 Simple Steps. The four steps form the habit loop and the basis for the four laws of behavior change. They are, once again, cue plus craving plus response plus reward. We have a cue in our environment that leads to a desire to do something, we respond, and we get a reward, repeat. Parenthetical aside, this is very similar to Charles Duhigg's model from The Power of Habit. James tells us he sees his work as building on Duhigg's, and I agree. It's a nice, super practical extension. Check out the notes on Duhigg's book for more. Here's the quick look at the four laws of behavior change that are driven by those steps. All right, so in the note, we've got a handy-dandy little table that makes it easy to see this. I'm going to walk you through it. It's a little bit awkward to describe a table via without having the visual representation. But basically, imagine three columns, right? We've got the laws on the left, law 1, 2, 3, 4, corresponding to cue, craving, response, and reward. And then we've got the next column, which is how to create a good habit. And then the column after that is how to break a bad habit. We're going to apply each of the laws to creating a good habit and breaking a bad habit. Here's how James breaks it down. The first law is associated with cue. You need to make the cue obvious to create a good habit. You need to make it invisible to break a bad habit. The second law corresponds to craving. You need to make it attractive to create a good habit, and you need to make it unattractive to break a bad habit. Continuing, our third row has the third law, which is corresponding to the response. We need to make our response, the actual behavior we want to engage in, easy to create a good habit. We need to make it difficult to break a bad habit. And finally, the fourth law corresponds to the reward. We need to make the reward satisfying to create a good habit. We need to make it unsatisfying to break a bad habit. Now, each of those, check out the note for more or his website, etc. But each of those four laws gets its own section in the book with really well-organized sub-chapters that help us figure out how to actually apply the wisdom to our lives. Again, echo, check out the book for the details. For now, let's take a super quick look at how we'd build a habit. Let's say we want to, meditate first thing in the morning. Okay, law number one, make it obvious. James tells us, we can use implementation intentions such as, I will meditate first thing in the morning in my bedroom. Note, he tells us when and where are super important. Be precise and increase the odds of crushing it by a staggering degree, science says. You can also make the cue obvious by designing your environment. This was a big theme throughout the book, designing your environment. Perhaps you could put the cushion you'll sit on in your way from your bed to your bathroom so you trip over it. That's obvious. Or if you want to work out, put your gym clothes in the same spot, etc. Now, law number two, make it attractive. Think about all the research demonstrating the benefits you want, a calm mind, etc. And you can also pair meditation with something you really enjoy doing, like drinking a cup of tea or coffee after you meditate. Another good way, quote, join a culture where your desired behavior is the normal behavior. Not easy to create great habits when your culture or community is not supportive, which is another incentive for me to create a community around optimizing for all of our optimizers, both online and offline, longer chat, separate discussion. Law number three, make it easy. We made it obvious. We made it attractive. Now we're making it easy. The easiest way to make it easy, quote, downscale your habits until they can be done in 2 minutes or less. Think silly, small, mini habits. Check out those notes. And we also want to, quote, master the decisive moment. Optimize the small choices that deliver outsized impact. James tells us there are certain moments in our day that have a huge impact on our lives. We want to make those choices in those decisive moments very, very well. You can think winning fight-throughs, which we talk about in our notes on organize tomorrow, today. And law number four, make it satisfying. Obvious, attractive, easy, satisfying. Give yourself an immediate reward after doing your new habit. James also tells us to never miss twice, very much like the idea of habit suicide we discussed in Superhuman by Habit. And he recommends use a habit tracker, keep track of your habit streak, and don't break the chain. For me, once I committed to meditating daily, in addition to the benefits of a calmer mind I started experiencing, after, by the way, the plateau of latent potential, I loved my streak. I'm now over 10 years in, I think it's over 11 years in now, and I've missed one day. Super satisfying. Insert your desired behavior into those four laws, follow the four laws, and do the opposite for the stuff you want to get rid of. How about a quick walkthrough of a bad habit we'd like to break? How about eating junk food? First, make it invisible, not obvious. How? Well, remember to buy your willpower at the store. In other words, don't buy junk food and throw away what you have. Make it invisible. Why? Well, when it's obvious or in sight, what do? You eat it. Second, make it unattractive. Reframe your mindset, James tells us. Highlight the benefits of avoiding the bad habits. For example, imagine your energy stabilizing and your health optimizing, etc. Third, make it difficult. Quote, increase friction by increasing the number of steps between you and your bad habits. For example, you now need to drive to the grocery store to buy the junk food. That is making a bad habit difficult, which makes it easier to break. Fourth, make it unsatisfying. Keep that reframe from above in mind and make the connection between your spike and crash in energy levels and that junk food. Now, it is your turn. What's the number one good habit you'd like to create? And the number one bad habit you'd like to break? If you feel so inspired, spend a moment working it through that model, the four laws. Make it obvious, make it attractive, make it easy, make it satisfying. And most important, repeat. Which leads us to our next and final big idea, the Sorites Paradox. Quote, there's an ancient Greek parable known as the Sorites Paradox, which talks about the effect one small action can have when repeated enough times. One formulation of the paradox goes as follows. Can one coin make a person rich? If you give a person a pile of 10 coins, you wouldn't claim that he or she is rich. But what if you add another, and another, and another? At some point, you will have to admit that no one can be rich unless one coin can make him or her so. We can say the same thing about habits. Can one tiny change transform your life? It's unlikely you would say so. But what if you made another, and another, and another? At some point, you will have to admit that your life was transformed by one small change. The holy grail of habit change is not a single 1% improvement, but 1,000 of them. It's a bunch of atomic habits stacking up, each one a fundamental unit of the overall system. The secret of getting results that last is to never stop making improvements. It's remarkable what you can build if you just don't stop. Small habits don't add up. They compound. That's the power of atomic habits. Tiny changes, remarkable results. That is from the final chapter of the book. First, quick etymology lesson. James tells us that Sorites is derived from the Greek word for heap, as in a pile of stuff, a heap. When you give someone a coin, that doesn't make a very big heap. But then you add another, and another, and another, and at some point, that additional coin makes the person wealthy. And so it is with our habits. It's not, as James says, the 1% improvement. It's the 1,000. And those improvements don't just aggregate, they compound. And we already know about the power of compounding. Going back to our spreadsheet for a moment, on that 1,000th day, we're 20,751 times better than we were on day one. So I say, while standing on a soapbox shouting, let's have fun getting to 10 years and 3,650 1% gain days en route to being a quadrillion times better than our current selves. Then let's dance with Emerson's Angels as we give ourselves most fully to the world, shall we? That is a very quick look at this great book, Atomic Habits. If you enjoyed the book, I think you'll enjoy all of our other notes on habit-related books, although I currently put this one at the top of the list. Check out more at optimize.me/habits. For now, we'll enjoy some great quotes, and then we'll wrap it up. James tells us, making a choice that is 1% better or 1% worse seems insignificant in the moment. But over the span of moments that make up a lifetime, these choices determine the difference between who you are and who you could be. Success is the product of daily habits, not once-in-a-lifetime transformations. He tells us you should be more concerned with your current trajectory than with your current results. If you want to predict where you'll end up in life, all you have to do is follow the curve of tiny gains or tiny losses and see how your daily choices will compound 10 or 20 years down the line. James tells us the purpose of setting goals is to win the game. The purpose of building systems is to continue playing the game. True long-term thinking is goal-less thinking. It's not about any single accomplishment. It is about the cycle of endless refinement to continuous improvement. Ultimately, it is your commitment to the process that will determine your progress. One of the most effective things you can do to build better habits is to join a culture where your desired behavior is the normal behavior. Your culture sets your expectation for what is normal. Surround yourself with people who have the habits you want to have yourself. You'll rise together. The four laws of behavior change are a simple set of rules we can use to build better habits. They are: 1, make it obvious; 2, make it attractive; 3, make it easy; and 4, make it satisfying. Whether we are approaching behavior change as an individual, a parent, a coach, or a leader, we should ask ourselves the same question. How can we design a world where it's easy to do what's right? Redesign your life so the actions that matter most are also the actions that are easiest to do. With a fuller understanding of what causes our brain to repeat some behaviors and avoid others, let's update the cardinal rule of behavior change. What is immediately rewarded is repeated. What is immediately punished is avoided. The only way to become excellent is to be endlessly fascinated by doing the same thing over and over. You have to fall in love with boredom. That's from a very interesting section on greatness. And finally, James tells us, the secret of getting results that last is to never stop making improvements. It's remarkable what you can build if you just don't stop. Small habits don't add up, they compound. That's the power of atomic habits, tiny changes, remarkable results. There you go, atomic habits. Thank you, James Clear. Hope you enjoyed. Any idea, jump out and land. How can you make it a more embodied, practical part of your day starting today? What's the number one habit you'd like to install? The number one habit you'd like to delete? Work on the four laws. 1, 2, 3, 4. Make today another awesome day. See ya.
We hope you enjoyed this philosopher's note. Please go to optimize.me to download more.